Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Earthdawn Survival Guide, the podcast for all disciplines, paths, players, and game masters. With your questers, Josh and Dan, I am Dan.
I am Josh.
And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things kind of horrifical again. We're going to be on Surviving the Inhospitable Part 2 over here. So if you have any questions for us, please drop us a line at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear the answers to those questions, go to the last episode, because that's where we answered the flurry that we got previously. 7 or 8, 9, 11 emails, whatever we got.
A lot of emails lately.
Yeah, and I'm digging it. That's fine. Less show prep for me. We just get to pick Josh's brain on those. So today we're going to talk about how to survive the inhospitable Death Sea and Scarlet Sea, kind of a recap from our previous Crystal Raiders episodes. And also we're going to cover how to survive the Mist Swamps. So a little bit geographical in this case, because they are vastly different, but they are still inhospitable. So don't want to set up camp there if you don't have to. Initial thoughts on Death Sea and the Scarlet Sea, if you're going to venture to those areas.
Yeah, you're definitely going to want to invest in things that are going to give you some degree of protection from heat. You are going to want to make sure that you bring plenty of water so that you can stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two big ones.
That is absolutely just fine. So since we did cover a little bit of this sprinkled throughout our episodes on the Crystal Raiders, right off the bat for Death Sea and the Scarlet Sea, there is no walking or riding into either of these molten rock locations. It's just, that's not your smartest mode of travel to get in there. This is airships only, and they really shouldn't even try to get within 50 feet of the surface, because it is that stinking hot.
Yeah. There are Klenkas, I think is the term that is for them.
Yeah.
Small islands of cooled lava that have cooled enough that they are solid rather than more fluid in terms of the molten lava and magma that you will otherwise encounter. They're not permanent. They will not necessarily last a particularly long time. But when fire mining operations take place and they have done whatever they've done to bring kernels of true fire up to the surface, they will lower folks down to a Klenka on a rope or harness or something like that so that they can cast out their orichalcum lined nets to rake in the kernels of true fire.
Yeah.
But be attached so that if the ground that they're standing on suddenly turns even more hazardous, or some beastie or other shows up to try and make a snack of them, they mm-hmm. can hopefully be pulled back up aboard relatively quickly.
Yeah. I mean, when they descend into these areas, it is so freaking hot, they can't wear anything other than like a loincloth and protective gloves and shoes. And that's it. Because everything else will either catch fire or you'll sweat to death in it and therefore overheat. So to Josh's point, yes, lots and lots of water.
Fortunately, it's a dry heat.
Like Arizona. And what you also have to watch out for, if you are carrying along all your own provisions, and of course you are, because hunting here is going to be very, very sparse, food spoilage. So this is where like a traveler's mug is fantastic, because it automatically refills like once or twice a day. So those are not bad things to have. But any food you have, you want dry rations, jerkies, and things like that. And the bread's going to go bad real quick. Any fresh vegetables of any kind are just going to like cook essentially in an oven. And so they're all just gonna be like wet and soggy and dehydrated on their own. So this is where you want dry goods and oodles and oodles and oodles of water. My favorite quote from the entire essay about surviving in Death Sea: move quickly in death's domain or death will find you.
Yeah.
It's a nice parable. I just like it. It rolls off the tongue nicely. I couldn't remember it, so I had to write it down. Anyway, So Josh was mentioning some beasties on the Klenkas that might come up from underneath. Here's a list of things that you might encounter in Death Sea or the Scarlet Sea, a smaller place to go to while you're there for whatever reason you're there. Mining, going overhead, whatever the case may be. Here's a list. Josh, chime in whenever you have something pithy to say. Fire eagles.
Yep, those are cool. They're especially annoying because they can fly, where some of the others, if you can get hauled up to your airship in time, then you're likely to be out of the way. But fire eagles can harass you and cause you problems even on the airship itself.
Totally. Lava fish.
Yeah.
I don't even think we have stats for those, but they exist in the essay. So I think that's one of those.
I would kind of classify those in a way as either sort of magical fish or even a sort of weak variety of fire spirit.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I can see a couple of different ways that you could approach those.
I like both. Salamanders, because they have to be in a hot environment.
Yeah, we were talking about the classic fire elemental aligned humanoid worm kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Firebirds, different from fire eagles.
Nothing different to say about them compared to fire eagles.
Fire worms, which I think is, and that's W-O-R-M. So like long things. So
I would kind of think of those similar to burrowers,
mm-hmm.
only tunneling through the lava of Death's Sea the way that
earthworms do.
Earthworms do.
Yeah, fair. So you wouldn't miss this.
They're not called burrowers. Rockworm, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
rockworms.
No worries. Brochas.
Yeah, those are...
like quadrupedal?
Yeah, quadrupedal, beast of burden-y looking kind of things. They're sort of like the Death's Sea equivalent of the large herbivores of the plains.
Yeah.
They're still, because they're fire-aligned, kind of ornery and you don't want to mess with them, but... on the scale of Death Sea denizens, they are lower on the aggressiveness scale.
Yes. Yeah, considering what's next is magma beasts.
Magma beasts are big, brutal, nasty, ferocious. They are probably apex predators of Death's Sea.
Yeah, generally unpleasant. Then there's, of course, fire spirits.
Elementals, basically.
Yeah. Fire sprites.
I would classify those as the same sort of thing. As we kind of expanded the presence and definitions of spirits in 4th edition, fire spirits, fire sprites, there's a whole bunch of fire elemental things.
Oh, yeah, because next
that would be different
classifications. The next one is fire wraiths.
Yeah, fire wraiths, they're not technically undead. Are they horror spawn? Shoot, I don't remember now. Yeah, they might be in the companion. I don't have them right to hand.
No worries, no worries. And then, of course, last but not least, certain horrors, because they do love desolate places.
Yeah, you can have horrors just about anywhere. Fire wraiths are fire spirits that have been corrupted into horror constructs.
Oh, yeah.
They are a fire spirit. They're horror spawn of a sort.
Gotcha. Yeah, that would be rather different on the list. I'm okay with that. And last but not least, pirates. Who don't want to do the heavy lifting of mining the things themselves, they just want to take it from you after you do it.
Whether Sky Raiders or the Pirates of the Scarlet Sea, I think we talked about them back in the Twilight Peaks episodes. There are independent airship crews that like to hit not only merchant ships, but any fire mining ships that are coming out of Death's Sea to try and get a hold of the precious stuff that they have on board.
Yeah, fair enough. And also, one of those things you really have to make sure you're going to take with you into Death's Sea or the Scarlet Sea is if you're there for any specific purpose, most likely to mine something, you're going to want the orichalcum container to put that in on the way back out, because if it's elemental fire or true fire, it's going to burn through whatever you've got other than orichalcum. So it's getting the orichalcum pot first.
Yeah. There's the orichalcum. There's the kernels of elemental fire most frequently. But I could also see pirate crews perhaps going to hit a mining vessel that's on its way to Death Sea, because they would mm-hmm. be more supplied with water and food and other goods that they would want to perhaps attack and take those for their own use.
Yeah, fair enough. Anything else about possibly surviving a trip into or out of or through or over, especially Death Sea or the Scarlet Sea? Because I said this was a very quick recap.
Yeah, you generally would want to be very careful. You want to do planning and make sure that you are taking sufficient caution and preparations and having enough supplies to get you to where you need to go and back, and probably with a little bit of a buffer to deal with any waylaying that might happen. Definitely having enchanted objects of some sort to help deal with the heat would be worthwhile. There are some low-level, low-circle elementalist spells that could be handy in terms of making enchanted objects that would help resist heat and whatnot.
Yeah.
Air armor, unfortunately, is not, while it does provide an effect that reduces damage from heat, you need to be wearing clothes of some sort for the air to go into. So yes, its utility is actually somewhat limited, but mm-hmm. I could certainly see true water or true air, especially both of which have strong connotations with cold and snow and whatnot, yeah, being something that would be an important ingredient in making enchanted objects that would help resist the effects of Death's Sea. You talked about the traveler's mugs already. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just in general, it is a very inhospitable area, and similar to the Badlands or the Poison Forest, you need to kind of have a purpose when you're going there, and you figure out how much time you're going to need to get to where you're going, do what you need to do, and get out. It's not a place that you tend to dally. Unlike the Badlands, where there maybe is a little bit of value in terms of exploring because of cares and other stuff that might be there, you're not going to find anything like that in Death's Sea. It's just a big ocean of lava.
Yeah, it's not a, essentially, not a tourist trap.
There's not really anything there. I mean, along the shores, there might actually be islands that can serve as place where a hermit magician type might have set up a base, or some cares might have been constructed nearby there in order mm-hmm. to try and take advantage of the environment to add a certain additional layer of protection.
Yeah.
Though, as the story of the Vorst tells us, that isn't necessarily a guarantee of safety. Again, to talk about the third Jerol novel, Poison mm-hmm. Memories,
yes,
does involve some time on an island in Death's Sea where he is trapped for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, he was incapacitated on that for a long time.
That sort of stuff can be done. You know, you can have strange things like that going on. So there can be reasons to go there.
Yeah.
But just in general, you want to figure out where you're going, how to get there most efficiently, take appropriate supplies, and mm-hmm. get out. It's made even more difficult by the fact that you've got to the north the Twilight Peaks, which doesn't really have any good place on their southern slopes to camp or set up a base of operations or anything like that.
No.
To the east, you've got the Badlands. Likewise, not really any place that you're going to be setting up. You know, you go like from the Badlands to Death's Sea. There's kind of like that border area between them, a lot of inhospitable area. The best access from that regard is actually from the western side, where you've got Landis and Carafod, which mm-hmm. do get a little bit closer to Death's Sea without having quite the same amount of barren, inhospitable terrain that you need to deal with in order to get to where you're going. Of course, that doesn't help if the area that you're trying to go is more towards the Scarlet Sea or other parts of the region.
Slightly less peril to the west.
Yeah.
Slightly. And then, as you said, going to the east is like going from the fire to the frying pan. So, you know, only a little better that way as well. So, yeah, it's one of those fun things. Remind me, am I thinking of the correct game? Because I remember a magical item called Ice Water. Is that Earthdawn? Or am I high? I want to say it was a magical...
Doesn't remind me of anything from Earthdawn. The closest thing that comes to mind when you mention that for Earthdawn, there's a thread item called the Ice Blade of Omafan.
Yep, that wasn't in my head.
That's something fair. Pretty different.
Nope, I had a different game, so we're good. All right, on to out of the oven, that is the Death Sea Scarlet Seed conversation, and into the sauna, that is the Mist Swamps conversation that we're about to have. This is, of course, where, I mean, the reason you're going to go here, there's only a couple of reasons to go here, but you'd rather go to the Mist Swamps than Death Sea, because in the Mist Swamps is, of course, the lost city of Irns Morgath, the great city of the South, which is what everyone's been looking for and everyone wants to find. And the Temple of Assassins and the whole nine yards, and sorry, the Castle of Assassins and the whole nine yards. So people have reasons to go to the Mist Swamps. Any other reasons you can think of?
Well, there would presumably be other ruins and so forth that might be found there. Of course, in addition to the difficulty of dealing with the Mist Swamps themselves, where you've got this massive river delta of the Serpent where it enters into the Scarlet Sea, the water slows down quite a bit, gets shallow in quite a number of places, can be brackish, the ground can be marshy and nasty, unlike the Serpent where you can pretty reliably have a boat be able to take you where you need to go without too much trouble. When you hit the Mist Swamps, you're certainly traditional riverboats and whatnot are not going to be able to handle it. You're looking at probably shallow barges and pole boats, canoes, kayaks, where you could potentially portage them fairly easily if you needed to get from one patch of water to another. And of course, there could very well, because of the nature of the terrain, you could end up with decent-sized ponds or lakes within that area as well.
Yeah.
Because of the ancient city that is there, the core of the city is, of course, the lair of the great dragon, Aban.
Yes.
Which is its own hazard and difficulty. But, you know, if there was a large city there, then other associated ruins could potentially be found.
Yeah.
There's certainly quite a number of special or unique flora or fauna that you might need to venture there to get as ingredients. We talked about a couple of weeks back, all the various healing aids and herbs and natural remedies that you could find. The Mist Swamps could be a place where some rarer
fungi
reagents like that could be found. Mosses, fungi, you know, any kind of plants and so forth. Animals that are adapted to life, not just in a swamp, but in a warm swamp, in a hot swamp.
Yes.
And again, the dangers, making sure that you go there with the appropriate supplies, because you can't be sure that you're going to have access to safe drinking water. Food may be hard to come by. Similar to Death's Sea, any kind of goods or food that you might bring along is apt to run into potential spoilage or other issues. The counterpoint to Death's Sea, where things are very dry, the Mist Swamps aren't as hot as Death's Sea, but they are exceedingly humid, which is its own kind of problem, because when the humidity gets above a certain point, the sweat doesn't evaporate and cool you off. You are just constantly moist. Death's Sea has its own kind of life, but it is kind of sparse because of it being a largely barren and blasted terrain of its own. The Mist Swamps are teeming with life. Plants of various varieties and animals and insects and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That we'll make their home there.
Yes. So basically, surviving the Mist Swamps, if you have to go in there or you want to go in there, take your pick, is kind of like preparing for the jungle travel episode that we mentioned a few episodes back or so. So it's basically heat and steam preparation. So don't plan on wearing a lot of clothes. And here's a list. It's a longer list because, to Josh's point, there's a lot more things here in the Mist Swamps that you will definitely be able to run into. So things like giant snakes, carnivorous fish, huge insects, crocodiles, sorrels, ticks, spiders, beetles, death moths, which I think are really fun to throw in this one, giant mosquitoes, because they had to be listed separately from giant insects, because mosquitoes are not one to trifle with, water spirits aplenty, and will-o'-the-wisps.
In addition to all of that, something else that you will likely need to contend with in the Mist Swamps are disease.
Yes.
When you've got a lot of insects and a lot of life, there is going to be infections and diseases and so forth that could potentially cause you problems. You're not as likely to run into that being an issue in Death's Sea.
No.
Because it is so hot and dry that things are just all kind of dried out and desiccated.
Yeah.
Not the case in the Mist Swamps. One thing, fortunately, that you are not as likely to run into in the Mist Swamps in terms of hazards, horrors and horror spawn, because it is a domain of a dragon.
Yeah.
She probably does a pretty good job of keeping those sorts of things out of her territory.
Yep.
I'm not going to say it's not impossible, but you are a lot less likely to run into those sorts of things than you would otherwise. Agreed. And the ones that you might run into are probably going to be more powerful and more dangerous because they also have the ability to survive in that inhospitable environment with a great dragon metaphorically breathing down their neck.
Exactly. So I think it's fair to say you're probably also not going to come into a whole lot of pirates or raiders or riverboat crews or other adventuring parties, because again, this is probably an area that is very seldomly traveled into, at least as far as if it's an expedition, it's a big expedition, or it's a quick in and out. It's a quick in and a quick out expedition. You're not going to like set up camp there and try and mine things for a couple of months. It's yeah. Don't spend time there if you don't have to.
Yeah. It is a pretty harsh place.
Agreed. Any further thoughts on Death Sea, the Scarlet Sea, or the Mist Swamps? Should we cover anything to do with Death's Domain?
We can maybe talk about that briefly, but before we get into that, if you are interested, we have a couple of episodes where we go into those locations in a little bit more depth. We talk about Death's Sea when we are kind of at the tail end of the Twilight Peaks series. I think we talk about Death's Sea in an early episode of the show as well.
Yeah.
We talk about the Mist Swamps quite a bit, both when we talk about the Great Dragon Aban, so go ahead and look back at that episode, or the Keys of Death?
Keys of Death.
No.
No.
It's not the Keys of Death. It's the other, the one that the Castle of Assassins is associated with.
Yeah, I can't remember who they are.
Hand of Corruption.
Ah, there we go.
But yeah, so go back and maybe the Hand of Corruption episode, we talk about the Mist Swamps a little bit as well, because the Castle of Assassins is reportedly based out of
somewhere
the Mist Swamps.
Exactly. So on Escaping Death's Domain, there are a couple of little things listed in the back of the Earthdawn Survival Guide, pages 88 and 89, in case you have the book. If you don't have the book, what is wrong with you? Go get this book. It's available at FASA.com, or FASAGames.com, sorry, in PDF form. Maybe on eBay somewhere if you can find it, but good luck with that. Anybody who has this book hoards it, and rightfully so. So what would people do about blood magic and spells in the Mist Swamps? Or Death's Sea, really?
In the Mist Swamps, I wouldn't be so worried about it. When you're getting to Death's Sea, it is potentially an issue because of the strong association with death as an entity, whatever sort of entity that it is. So it's difficult. So they are things to sort of keep in mind. There's not really any hard and fast rules around that, but I would imagine that there are folk beliefs and superstitions when it comes to using blood magic and the like, especially with the idea of when enough blood is spilled, then death will be released. There could be some that believe that even practicing blood magic of a sort over Death's Sea would count towards whatever objective that theoretically is.
Yeah, fair.
That's certainly something to keep in mind as a possible belief that people have, even if it's not something that's necessarily enforced by the rules in any way.
Gotcha. I think the rest of these are more just little sidebars on like the mystery of Death's favor, on retrieving a soul from Death's kingdom, and of course the tale of Josara, the thief who stole from Death. So those are little tidbits to add some reading to your list if you want.
Yeah. Generally speaking, and we're potentially going to be talking about this in a little bit more depth in a future episode, but if a character, if an individual dies and is not brought back within the appropriate time by a last chance salve or spell, death is pretty permanent in Earthdawn.
Yeah.
compared to similar fantasy genre games,
mm-hmm.
there is some buffer where you can prevent somebody from being completely dead to kind of quote Miracle Max. There's mostly dead and all dead. Got mostly yes. dead there to start. But it is possible there are legends, and the book has a couple of examples of them, of ways that brave or desperate individuals have traveled into death's domain mm-hmm. to bargain for a loved one to bring them back.
Yeah.
Typically, this involves a ritual of some sort or doing it in a particularly significant location. There was talk in the Twilight Peaks episodes, again, to get back to those, how yeah. the volcanoes there in the southwestern stretch of the Twilight Peaks are very strongly associated with death. There is the thought or idea that perhaps if you travel in the tunnels below those mountains deep enough that you actually can travel physically to death's domain. Obviously, to kind of draw a classical parallel, you've got the tale of Orpheus and Eurydice,
mm-hmm.
where Orpheus, you know, travels down to Hades to negotiate with the Lord of the Underworld to release his love.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are other similar stories in other mythologies. That just happens to be the better known ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that it is. You've got Josara, the thief who stole from death. There's the legend that Garlthic sneaks into death's domain and mm-hmm. periodically steals another day of life.
Yeah.
That's why he is as old as he is, despite being an orc.
Yeah.
In the Legends book, there's the Dance with Death. I forget if that's the actual name.
Yeah, rings a bell.
Of course, Death shows up in Poisoned Memories, the third Girol novel,
mm-hmm.
as an entity again.
Yeah.
There's quite a bit of stuff involved and legends and stories revolving around it. Probably more stories about it happening than actual times that it has happened.
Yeah.
But it is still something that could end up being a significant goal for a story arc or adventure, depending on what goes on in the game.
Yes.
And I think if you are going to bring that sort of thing into your Earthdawn game, you should give it the gravitas and
significance
that it deserves, that it is not simply a case of going to the nearest temple and having the cleric cast resurrection.
Yeah.
That there are rituals, that there may be research that needs to be done, protocols that need to be observed. There's potential for a lot of really interesting stuff that you could bring in as unique approaches to the whole idea.
Fair enough. And I'm pretty sure one of these days I'm going to record the legend of how Death got imprisoned as part of the Legends episodes that we release every once in a while as filler. So I'll make sure that one's in there.
Cool.
This is a good story and it needs to be told. It's just awesome. So until next time, folks, don't go into the Death Sea, the Scarlet Sea, or the Mist Swamps unless you really, really have to for your legend.
Good night, everybody.